Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 6, 5 through 15. And when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate Pastor Andrew Sanders being here last week and preaching. Andrew, his wife Julie, I don't think they're here this morning. He shared it with you all last week, but they're taking on new churches, both Andrew and Julie. And so they'll be moving the end of June. I do want us, I imagine that perhaps the beginning of June at that family Sunday, if they're here, I do want us to pray for them, right? To pray for them and to send them out. And I've been thinking about that in general. Like, I think when anybody ever knows that they're going to need to leave the church, that they're moving, they're going someplace else, I kind of like the idea of always praying people out at that family Sunday service, right? Because in a lot of ways, they're not leaving us. People don't leave us. Hopefully, we can send them into ministry, into a new mission field. Because you're all ministers here, right? That's straight from Scripture. And so we are going to send them out into a new mission field, pray for them, hopefully the beginning of June, if they're available then. Family Communion Sunday, we got out of rhythm, right? And so we did that the second weekend in both March and April, so we're back on track in May. Family Communion Sunday is next weekend, just so everybody has kind of a heads up on that. So no kids' church. We love Sunday school, but not kids' church. This morning, I would encourage you to have an active prayer life. Prayer is an incredibly powerful gift. The Lord has provided to you as a faith person at no extra charge. Prayer is going to do a work within you. Prayer is going to do a work within the world. It's this dual thing. If we were to say that the Christian faith is like a doctor, prayer would be the medicine that is prescribed for healing and health. If you see my slide here, right? When you visit your doctor, and your doctor prescribes you something that you really need, most of you would not refuse necessary medicine if that's where you were at, if that's what you really needed. You would gratefully accept the prescription as an opportunity to hopefully get healthier and to make better decisions. So as your pastor, please don't come to church and tell me that, well, prayer's not for me, pastor. Like, I come to church, I'm here, I don't pray. Because as your pastor, I need you to know that prayer will lead you to spiritual health and vitality. You have to have it for your own spiritual health and vitality. Without it, I fear that your soul may suffer, your life may suffer, if you don't develop this practice. Developing a personal prayer life takes practice and discipline. It just does. There will naturally be times where you don't want to do it. you don't feel it, or you don't feel up to it, or you don't have time for it. And that's true of any discipline. That's the nature of discipline.
A lot of you know that you can't gain muscle mass without physical activity. If you're sitting on your couch and hoping to get stronger, doesn't work that way, right? You got to lift some weights or get walking or do something. So you won't enter into the deep benefits of prayer life if you don't practice prayer in all seasons of your life, even those seasons of life where you would rather not. Now, I naturally don't know who here has developed the discipline of an active prayer life and who has not. Now, I do know that some of you don't like to pray around other people. And what I have learned is that just because you may not be comfortable praying in groups doesn't mean that you yourself do not have an active prayer life. Some people have very active personal prayer lives, just do not feel comfortable doing that in front of other folks. That's fair. But I do want to encourage anyone here who has maybe left prayer behind. Maybe you made the decision a while back ago that you were just not going to do it anymore. I want to encourage you today to begin developing your prayer life again, to begin to step into it. And don't be afraid to share your frustration, your hurt, your anger, your disappointment. Share all those things with God, right? And I'm here to tell you, he can take it. He can take it. He won't smite you. He won't curse you. He won't turn on you. He won't do those things. Jesus said in our passage, God already knows these things. No sense in trying to hide them. Don't keep them from him. Come clean with him. Say what you need to say to him. Whatever it is, you can say it. Speak to God as if he knows your heart, because he does know your heart. He knows you deeply. He's created you with a sense of purpose. He created you out of a sense of love. He enjoys your words of thankfulness to him. And you know what? Sadly enough, sometimes we have to kind of get honest with God about some of the things that have happened to us, the hurt that we've experienced. In order to get to that place where we speak out of a sense of thankfulness and blessing. With a little online research, you can find many different structures for your prayer life. There are many different ways out there. At our monthly board meeting, we have a devotional each time that we meet, usually brought to us by a board member. At our April board meeting, our lay leader, Vanessa Rubel. Vanessa, you can wave at everybody. Hi. She led her lesson on prayer for our board on Monday. She used an acronym, something like ACTS, A-C-T-S, that acronym, a way to structure our prayer life. ACTS stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And supplication just means those are your prayer requests, right? So you have things that you want God to know, things that you need help, supplication. Last Wednesday night at Revive, we have a short God moment shared after dinner. And that's just where we talk about where we see God working in our lives. And an individual delivers that. So Carla shared her illustration of how our prayers go to God's ear. And then he hears them, and he has heart for us because of our prayers and desires to help us. And before I knew that, on Monday, that Vanessa would share her lesson about prayer to the board, and before I knew that Wednesday, Carla would share her lesson at Revive on prayer to all those folks, I had planned to preach a sermon on prayer on Sunday in church, right? So perhaps God is trying to tell us something. Perhaps God is trying to speak something to our church, communicating to us too, to develop greater prayer within our church. And so just as God wants for all of us to grow in our prayer lives, Jesus wanted his disciples to learn too about prayer. Jesus didn't make it hard. He didn't present it as only the super spiritual pray. Only the super spiritual, not like it's a gift, like some people got it, some people don't. He actually began by criticizing the hyper spiritual who had a public practice of prayer. They would go out on the street corners and proclaim all their prayers loud and proud. And so Jesus said, don't be like them. They're hypocrites. Don't do as they do. Don't stand on the street corners like that. Don't babble on and on and on as if God doesn't know what you're going to pray before you pray it. Jesus says, instead, keep it simple and talk to God. Just approach it that way. And as I said at the beginning of my message, Jesus gives them a brief but powerful framework for their prayer lives. The power of prayer is both for a change, once again, that must occur in us, but also a change that can occur in the world through the power of your prayers. Prayer, changing us, changing the world. The way that Jesus says prayer should change you is threefold. Three things Jesus lists in our lesson. First, he says God will provide you bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And I just kind of take that as our basic needs, Lord. Lord, just kind of give me what I need in this day. Second, he says learn to forgive. It's important to learn to forgive because if you can't forgive others, Jesus says God can't forgive you. That's kind of frightening. Like how many of us here today have kind of held on to some things? Like we haven't forgiven. And yet Jesus says it's really, really important that you learn to forgive because God can forgive you if you can forgive others. And the third thing he says, look, pray that you will not fall into temptation, that you will not be tempted by the evil one, that God is with us as we face struggles and challenges. So in prayer, trust that God will meet your basic needs, that he will give you the power to forgive, and that he will keep you from your sin. Those three things. Regular prayer will help you in those ways, those very important ways. As I have grown and aged, I have found that the regular practice of prayer is more about God getting a hold of me and less about me getting a hold of God, which is kind of how I probably approached it when I began. Prayer tends to make me gentler. It tends to make me more aware. It makes me slow down. About a minute into prayer, something begins to happen with my nervous system, I've noticed. I become less nervous as I begin to pray. My heart rate, I feel, slows down a little. I feel like my breathing begins to slow down a little as I pray. I begin to feel better than I did before I started praying. And I generally pray about those things that are bothering me, that are weighty for me. Then I give thanks to God for his kindness and his love because I begin to, as I pray, kind of sense his presence there with me in that space. And so prayer is meant to be a powerful gift for you as a believer, for you as a Christian. And I want you to know that with all the changes I've experienced in the last 2 years, moving to Lebanon, being in a new location, in a new church, living, my family wasn't here for the first year. My daughter was finishing up high school. And so after a year, they all moved in. I got to be with my daughter for a couple months. Then she headed off to college. The post-turbulence that we've lived in with COVID and being a pastor in the post-COVID world is sometimes stressful. The thing that has gotten me through all of that, I think, is a renewed prayer life and a renewed interest in prayer. After being here for a couple months, right? I was here for a couple months. I began to utilize this. This is a guide to prayer for ministers and other servants. And it's written, it's the Upper Room is who put this together. And so the regular practice of reading scripture and then reading the devotionals that are there, and those things actually kind of guiding my prayer time have helped deeply. Letting those things shape my morning prayers. In the last couple years, just in the last couple years, I have just begun to pray two different written prayers. Somebody else wrote these prayers, to pray their prayers. Believe it or not, this was not something that I'd practiced before that time. I just normally pray. I've never looked over a prayer kind of over and over and over again. But what I've found is that praying each week the same prayers over and over and over again is a powerful reminder to me. It's really helpful for me. The first prayer that I picked up over a year ago, I was at the United Methodist Missouri Annual Conference. Happens every June, pastors, lay people. This prayer I picked up is called the Welcoming Prayer. It's the Welcoming Prayer. And I'd invite you this morning, we're actually going to have the Welcoming Prayer come up on the screen, and I'm going to invite you to say the Welcoming Prayer with me this morning. If you would, welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me in this moment because I know it is for my healing. I welcome thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for security. I let go of my desire for approval. I let go of my desire for control. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and the healing action and grace within. Well, now that is a very different prayer, isn't it? That's a very different prayer. So I want to ask you a question. You can answer me, okay? I want to hear some responses. What was different about that prayer? What was the theme of that prayer?
Let it go.
Let it go. Yeah. Anything else? Acceptance. Accepting who? Yeah, God's will. Others, yourself. This is a prayer that I will change you. I think it's changed me. It's helped me recognize something. It's kind of interesting too, because you know, I've talked to you, I just said, you know, prayer will change you. And this prayer says, don't try to change yourself. Don't try to change other people. And really the undercurrent is let God do that in you, in your timing. And so it's kind of funny in praying about a prayer on not changing, it has changed me. Right? I mean, it just has. Like when I begin to kind of let go of that some, that prayer has changed me. It just offers you a good reminder as you go into your prayer closet to not be worried about so many things. Much of our anxiety in life is about expectations upon other people and ourselves. And so this is a prayer that encourages us to let that anxiety go. Let that care go. The second prayer I started praying it back in November after Scott Shumate's funeral, after he passed away. During his celebration of life prayer, during his celebration of life, I shared this prayer. It's one of his favorite prayers. It's called the Wesleyan Covenantal Prayer. And it used to hang in Scott's bedroom, used to be on his wall. And I think it's a prayer that shaped him and who he was. And so I made the decision that I was going to begin to kind of pray it weekly as well, that I was going to engage with it. Now, as a United Methodist, we tend to bring that prayer up, the Wesleyan Covenantal Prayer, around the New Year. And sometimes it's a special New Year service. Sometimes it's the first Sunday after New Year. But it's prayer together more than just at that time. And so I would invite you to say with me this morning the Wesleyan Covenantal Prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth Let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. So I'll ask you again, different kind of prayer, right? Different kind of prayer. What do you notice about that prayer? What's kind of the central theme of the Wesleyan covenantal prayer? Pardon me? Opposites, a little bit different from the last prayer. Yeah. Oh, the contrasting. Whether this is in my life or this is in my life. Yeah. And so what do you gather from that? Like it's opposite. So what's our challenge when... Yeah. Wherever you're at. Yeah. To give ourselves to whatever our place in life is. Right? And I think that's real power. I mean, so much of what we do in life is actually in fear of being in some of those different scenarios. True power, true faith, is to be in any scenario and to know that the Lord is with you and he will strengthen you and give you what you need to get through it. But so much of what we do is trying not to be in some of those different scenarios listed. That's a powerful prayer. And I'll tell you, honestly, it's a scary prayer. There are times where I'm praying it and I'm like, I don't know that I mean this, God. Like I don't know that I really want that. But what I know is that praying changes us. And if God can change me to not fear those things anymore, but to have that great and perfect faith, then I could say to God, yeah, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, Lord, I am yours and I'm here to serve you. So prayer really, God desires to shape us in our prayer life, when we choose to have active prayer life. But it's also not just to change us, it's also to change the world. The first thing Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so the thing that Jesus spent most of his time preaching and teaching was actually not personal salvation, which is where we tend to focus a lot today. Is about your salvation. It wasn't about going to heaven. It wasn't showing to people how to be a good person, like what it means to be a good person. Most of Jesus' theme and his teaching, especially in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, was around the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And I believe Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God tends to be one of the most misunderstood and most overlooked teachings in the Bible. Since he spent so much time talking about it, why don't we? And the primary reason Jesus was born, I think, of flesh and blood as a person, was to, in fact, usher in the kingdom of God on earth. That was his primary purpose in his existing here. The direction of humanity had to change. It had to shift. People needed to let God rule in their lives and to understand what God's priorities are as opposed to their own priorities. And so Jesus showed us what it looked like to live on earth as all live in heaven, as all live out their lives in heaven. There must be greater justice and equality of all people in heaven. Jesus saw the poor were oppressed and marginalized. And so who did he spend most of his time with in the Gospels? The poor and the marginalized. Jesus saw that many people had been broken and shamed by religious leaders. And so what did he do? He tended to shame religious leaders and speak lovingly but assertively to people who were stuck in sin and needed help out of that. And so Jesus saw that the powerful were first in line for the resources in his day. And so Jesus said something like, well, in the kingdom of heaven, the first will be last and the last will be first. It's going to get flipped. And so in God's kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven, it's so different because God is king. God is president. God is ultimate authority. That is God's role. Jesus came to share with people the kingdom of God has come to earth. Jesus is saying, I'm bringing it. I'm starting it. Jesus said, when you pray, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, church, let's be careful not to just pray the Lord's Prayer on Sunday, right? That it just becomes kind of rote for us, that it just we can kind of kick it out. But during the week, let the prayer that we say this morning, let it shape prayer the rest of the week. And so the rest of the week, be praying for justice and pray for peace and pray for the oppressed and pray for the marginalized. After all, you are prayer partners with Jesus Christ. You have a prayer partner. Your prayers are ushering in the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. I want to invite you all to an all-church prayer meeting, right? Let's find a way to practice this. An all-church prayer meeting, Wednesday, May 17th. We started Revive. We started a couple weeks ago. It was kind of an experiment. And our hope was to, in fact, revive work for our church and for our faith, but also that we might be able to develop some community connection. We offered a parent class and advertised that on Facebook and kind of got the word out in hopes that we would see people from our community come take advantage of that. I would say my observation is that Revive has been very good for us, that we have about half, a little less than half of our worshiping attendance with us on Wednesday nights. I cannot say that it's helping us connect to our community as I kind of originally hoped for, that we've seen a lot of young parents from around town. And that's fine, because friends, what we continue to do in church is we continue to try new things, and then we kind of reflect on what it did, what it didn't do, and then we try to do something a little different next time to help us kind of connect with people in our community to show that we care. And so the last night of Revive, it's going to be May 10th, and so the next Wednesday, we're going to meet in here in the sanctuary and pray. And we're going to pray for our community. In our community, Marcia talked about lane change. We have drug issues in our community. We have dependency here in Lebanon. We have a poverty that is above the national norm in our community. We have homelessness, and it picks up more and more around the church in the summer, is what we see. Hungry children, unemployed people in our town. And so we're going to pray for our community, and we're going to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Laclede County as it is in heaven." Right? We're going to make that prayer personal. And so you're invited to come to that meeting. It'll be in the sanctuary. You can come in any time between 5 and 6 you like. You don't need to be there right at the very beginning to participate in praying for your community. We'll figure it out, right? You come in and we'll have a list of things you can begin to pray. God desires for us to be praying people. He desires for us to be a praying church, that it would be a practice in our personal lives, but also in our church community. Renewal always begins with prayer. I mean, I think about my life and the times that I fell away from God, fell away from faith. It all started for me again in prayer. And we have a great prayer foundation in our church. Let's think about how we can take it up a notch. What does next level prayer look like for us at First United Methodist Church? What's it mean for you in your personal life to take your prayer life up a notch? God desires some great things in your life for you. He desires for you to bring about some great things in this world through your prayers and when we pray together. His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven through your prayer life. So, let's begin it now. Let's commit to this now. Would you please bow with me? Heavenly Father, we love you, we thank you, and I just want to give my friends here just a moment, just if any of them need to reconnect with you, and it's just been a while, or somebody this whole time, they've just had something pressing upon their hearts and thought, yeah, when I get a minute, I need to pray for this. Lord, we just want to take just a minute and pray quietly, silently to you the things that are on our hearts right now. So just take a minute just to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. And I thank you that you have heard your people this morning. Lord, would you align our hearts? Lord, maybe we learn alignment in prayer, that as we begin to pray individually, that you would begin to speak to our hearts, that you would give us direction, and that we would experience your direction, not only in our private lives, but in as a church, and as one community. And Lord, we do lift up the needs of Laclede County, and for the hurt that is here, and for those who are marginalized, and who have so little, and who have so little emotionally, that are lonely, and that are without support and friendship, who are without kindness and love, who are in situations where there might be an angry voice or an abusive voice. Lord, we just pray that you would cast all that out lives in our community, and that you would strengthen us, that you would strengthen our community through the gift of prayer. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.